Up in the Air by Not Freya and Straight Outta Hobbiton, read by Cookie Mom 6067. Text conversation between Jim and Spock. What the actual fuck was that? No contact for a year, and that's your opener. Flooding my head? I apologize. I recognize now that it might have been a shock. Why now? It was pointed out to me on several occasions that I may have acted rashly. Okay. I believe my anger was warranted. That being said, I have taken the time to realize they were correct. My reaction to this discovery was excessive and caused you unnecessary pain. For that, I am sorry. Okay, explain how exactly you walking away from me, from our marriage bed, I might add, is acceptable behavior. If I had stayed, my emotions would have overwhelmed me, and I might have killed you. I felt that way for some time afterwards. You betrayed me. How? If the situation were not what it was, I would say that as a friend, you kept vital information about me, a secret from me. Friends do not do that. Because you are in fact my bondmate, I felt that betrayal more deeply. You purposefully kept the truth of our bond secret from me. Why? I didn't. I was waiting for you to figure it out for yourself. I didn't realize you could be so goddamn boneheaded about your own feelings. Or mine. That doesn't explain why you did not confront me when it became clear I was not understanding. Lady Amanda said it was rude to point out relationships between Vulcans. You're a Vulcan. But you are not. Which leads me to reason number two. I knew you were going to take it badly, being bonded to me. You could not be sure. Please. Your dreams consist of being the ultimate Vulcan and going through Kolinar. I knew. Vulcans do not dream. However, I concede your point. Your hypothesis was not unsound. I was emotionally compromised. I had to remove myself from you and the situation I found myself in until I could think clearly. And you've had time to think clearly. I have spent much of the year doing exactly the opposite. It was not until 4 days ago that I fully recognized what it is I desire, what I dream of for myself. And what is that? My culture is neither human nor Vulcan. It is illogical to attempt to align myself completely with one or the other, particularly when neither will accept me fully. I thought of severing our bond many times over these months, and yet when faced with a decision that would require the process, I chose you. I choose you, James. Don't call me that. Nobody calls me that. I held out hope and you crushed it. I can't just take you on your word. I understand. Perhaps we might try to rebuild our relationship as it once was. We were friends, above all else. I think we could do that. But there are conditions. Yes. You are not blocking me out again. But you're not doing that flood thing with me again either. Both of those things hurt. Who gave you that idea anyway? T'Pring recognized the symptoms of a closed bond. She suggested I open it. I may have been overzealous. Damn right you were. I don't mind if our bond is open the way it was. Minimal mental contact, okay? Very well. For now, I only want messaging contact. I don't think I could handle a vid call with you right now. Will this condition change? Once I don't feel like stabbing you with a fork, maybe. Can I ask, what was it that made you decide you didn't want to break the bond? I was accepted to the Vulcan Science Academy. Oh, congrats. Congratulations are not necessary. I declined their acceptance. I have instead enrolled in the Starfleet Academy. Excuse me? You what? You are able to reread your messages. You're joining Starfleet. You're joining Starfleet. Oh my God, you're joining Starfleet. I am uncertain as to why you are repeating yourself. Spock, you're joining Starfleet. That's a big deal. You never said anything about wanting to join before. And yet, I found myself filling out the application nonetheless. I will be following both the sciences and command tracks. In doing so, my education will be paced roughly to that of a Vulcan secondary classroom. I may need to take several engineering classes as well, if only to keep my mind truly engaged. Are you trying to catch up to me? Because it feels like you're trying to catch up to me. If you would like to believe that, you may. I am simply worried that I may grow lethargic in such an environment. I always knew you were a smug bastard. You're going into Starfleet, Spock. I am going into Starfleet, Jim. Text conversation between Amanda and Winona. I think our sons are talking again.
I think so, too.
Why do you think so?
Because Jim just sent me a message telling me Spock started talking to him. You?
Damn. Spock hasn't said anything to me. He's eating properly again, though.
Oh, that's good. Jim isn't fucking everything that moves anymore, I think. So that's one less worry to have. Still drinks like a fish, though.
Still, that's not good. How are his grades?
He's graduating.
He's going to take a year off and travel before actually selling his soul to Starfleet. God bless my little captain. They grow up so fast.
He's a good boy.
Yeah. He's crazy, but he's a good boy.
Text conversation between Gayla and T'Pring.
Jim just messaged me. They're talking again.
At last, Spock is more at peace, and his brother refuses to stop grinning when he comes to poke at his brother after class. It is disturbing.
Cybok's a nice guy. He's just a weirdo.
He is.
It is good. They are speaking once more. Now I might convince Jim to come visit me on Vulcan.
If he goes, I'm following.
Naturally.
Text conversation between Jim and Spock. Image. Jim is smiling brightly at the camera, which is being held by an unknown party. He is dressed in a thin white t-shirt and cargo pants. His hair is bleached from the sun, and his skin is tanned. There is a sunburn stretching across the bridge of his nose, and there are more freckles than Spock remembers. His hands are balanced on his hips, and his chest is puffed out. Behind him is a grimy stone wall painted with the likeness of a heavy, mustachioed man's face. In a speech bubble above Jim's head, it reads, El Mal Paga.
Greetings from Medellin.
You are no longer in the United States.
Nope, I'm in Colombia. It's beautiful. Medellin is called the City of Eternal Spring. It's 70 degrees outside.
Why are you in Colombia?
The girls.
Is that meant to be humorous?
A little bit. Dr. Fonseca is freaking out I'm here. She says her home country is full of diseases. If I ever see her again, she's going to hypo me to death. I can never leave.
How long do you intend to stay in Medellin?
I'm leaving for Brazil Saturday. Gonna go see a giant Jesus and the last tree of the Amazon. Then Carnival. It's gonna be great.
Be careful. Please.
Text conversation between Len and Jim.
I miss Joss.
She's still not answering her calls.
She's never gone so long. Got the attention span of a fly.
Len, you're trashed.
Damn right I am.
Of course you spelled that right. Is she going to do anything drastic?
She's not letting me see Joe.
Oh, Len,
Has she said anything about why she left? Like, has she elaborated on what wasn't working?
No. Jim?
Yeah?
This sucks. I miss Joe.
Yeah. Text conversation between Jim and Spock. Egypt was cool and all, but nothing beats the city of love. I'm in Paris now, look. Image. Jim is seated at a table outside of a cafe. He's wearing a blue jalabia purchased in Egypt in a cheap black beret. He's smiling around a cup of coffee. Over his head, the silhouette of the Eiffel Tower looms in the morning light.
Did you wear that on the plane?
I got the beret here, but yes, the dress thing is comfortable. I want 12.
I do not believe you are wearing it correctly.
Probably not. It's fine, though. I'm an American. We have a history of ignoring the details of cultural stuff like dress and religion.
Your sarcasm over the matter is worrisome. That is not a reputation most would relish in.
Most are not American. My suitcase got lost on the way over, so this is what I've got.
Are you in need of assistance, Jim?
Nah, I like living on the edge. Besides, I keep my wallet on me, so I'm good money-wise. I think Len's wife is going to divorce him.
That must be very painful.
Not as bad as Vulcan's, I imagine.
He's not taking it very well.
I imagine not.
He has a child with this woman, correct?
He does. Joe's a peach. She doesn't deserve what's going on right now.
It is likely very stressful, particularly as she is so young. She cannot yet grasp the complexities of her parents' relationship.
Exactly. Anyway, I'm going to go. Paris awaits. Parisian nights are beautiful. I see why people fall in love with this city.
My mother has spoken fondly of her time there.
She's been to Paris.
She spent a semester in the city. She was studying the evolution of Latin languages.
That's amazing. You should see it sometime. It really is beautiful.
Perhaps one day we shall go together.
That would be nice.
Text conversation between Len and Jim.
I've been served.
Served what, spaghetti?
You're an asshole. She's filed for divorce. I got the papers today.
Oh, fuck.
She's trying to take Joe. I won't let her, Jim. I can't.
No, you can't. What are you going to do?
Fight? What else is there to do?
I mean right now.
Well, it's 4:30. That's almost 5. I'm going to go find a bar.
Text conversation between T'Pring and Jim.
Spock has told me that you are currently touring the Terran countries. Are you enjoying yourself?
Oh, it's great. I've never seen so many humans in one place.
How's school?
Satisfactory.
I believe Spock was correct in deciding against attending.
How so?
He would not have the time to sigh over you.
I like that phrase, sighing over you. Gayla taught it to me.
He sighs over me. How do you know? He's on Earth.
Spock has the curious ability to denote emotion, even in his writing. Even if that were not the case, he only ever speaks of you. I respect that you are unhappy with him. However, I believe the time has come for you to make a decision.
Tell me, Jim.
Are you willing to take him for what he is, as your bondmate, or has he damaged your relationship beyond repair?
It isn't that I don't want him.
Of course.
I just think he might do it again.
Leave me.
He likely will. For all that he holds himself to a Vulcan standard, he is quite mercurial. Based on my observation, however, I believe he will always return to you.
But what if he doesn't?
Then you do not trust him, and you should dissolve your bond. If you cannot trust your bondmate, there is no way you can maintain your relationship. It is that simple.
You can't say that.
I can. I can also tell you that his response to the discovery of not only your bond, but your knowledge of the bond, was equal to that of any Vulcan. If anything, you showed him you did not trust him, Jim. That is not conducive to a bond.
I've got to go. My flight's boarding.
Think on what I have told you, Jim, and decide. It is the only way either of you will heal.
Text conversation between T'Pring, Gala, Amanda, Winona.
I explained to the best of my ability.
It's great that you had to. Spock's such a baby.
He's a man, dear. I found that regardless of race, save for a few exceptions, they all have the same hang-ups.
Boys are stupid.
I agree.
Well, you've done all you can. They've got to go the rest of the way on their own.
Here's to hoping it works out.
Of course it will. Jim has a backup plan.
Winona?
Yeah?
You're an asshole.
Mommy already knows that.
It's all right. Occasionally I need the reminder.
Text conversation between Jim and his mother.
Mommy?
Sup?
What am I supposed to do about Spock?
Fuck if I know.
Do you love him?
That's a complicated question.
Yes, it is.
And no, it isn't.
I followed your father across 6 states and into space. I also said no when he asked me to marry him. Twice.
I'm already married.
Well, at least that's out of the way. Listen, Jim, I can't tell you what to do. You've got to decide for yourself on this one.
Like everything else.
Yep.
You're married to the stupidest Vulcan in the galaxy. Good thing he's half human. He has an excuse.
Thanks, Mommy. You're a real help.
I know, right? I'm a great mom.
Where are you right now, anyway?
Beijing.
I'm going up to Mongolia next, then Russia.
If I've got the time, I'll cut through Poland and Germany, then maybe visit Normandy.
Regardless, I'm heading back to the States via London.
Nice.
Well, tell me if you figure it out, kid. But not too long, all right? I've got money on this.
Sometimes I think Sam had the right idea cutting you off.
He's a sensible kid.
You? Not so much.
Text conversation between Jim and Spock.
Poland's beautiful.
I know little of the country.
It's the kind of country that has a history of being marched through.
I swear these people have some sort of genetic memory. They all look like they're carrying the memories of their entire country.
Also, big cheeks. So cute.
I will take your word for it.
I've been staying in this village to the south. That's where Lieutenant Keej is from. In fact, I'm staying with her family.
They live at the base of a mountain that apparently got thrown on a town by the devil after they all refused to go to church on Christmas. It's pretty neat.
Human folklore is always a fascinating subject.
Yeah.
I think I'm homesick.
For which home?
I don't know. One of the girls here is trying to convince me to stay. She's beautiful. But for some reason, I'm sorry, I shouldn't bring it up.
I have an attractive wife. It is logical that others might desire you.
The whole wife thing still makes me chuckle. Do you think I might be able to visit you before I join Starfleet?
Of course.
Cool. Awesome. Have you ever had pierogi?
I have not.
They're awesome. Cheese and potatoes, wrapped in dough and drowned in butter. Lieutenant Keej's aunt taught me how to make them. She keeps humming this song about flowers. It's sad and lonely and stuck in my head, but the pierogi are awesome.
Perhaps you might endeavor to teach me how to prepare them when you visit.
That'll be fun. Listen, I've got to go. Len has his court date today.
We shall speak later.
Let's hope he's not drunk. I'll talk to you soon.
Text conversation between Jim and Len.
How was court? Did you see Joe?
Len, you all right?
She took her.
What?
She took Joe? You didn't get anything?
No. Not even visitation. Fuck. Fuck! I don't know what to do. She said I was drunk.
Len, were you fucked up when you went to court?
No. I just had a little something from my hangover.
Hold on, I'm calling you. The comms ringing surprises Leonard more than it ought to have. He blinks dumbly at the glowing screen for a moment, eyes taking a moment to focus enough to read the word Jim. He takes the call.
Hey, Jim.
Jim frowns, expression warped by the size of the screen. You don't look too good, Len.
Leonard rolls his eyes. Hell, Jim, what'd you think I'd look like?
He fiddles with his whiskey bottle absently. It's nearly empty.
What happened? What I thought happened.
Leonard rolls his shoulder.
She fucking took her, Jimmy. She took my baby girl. I ain't never gonna see her again.
His accent gets thicker when he's drunk, he knows. But Jim's got an accent, too, sometimes. Something sort of Vulcan, sort of Midwestern. Like someone who spent too much time among both kinds of people. Jim can't make fun.
Len, that's not true. Just got everything, Jim. All I've got left is my goddamn bones.
He pauses, then finishes his bottle.
Scratch that. Now, all I've got left is my bones.
Okay, bones, where are you right now?
In my house. Where the fuck?
In Oxford?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm coming over.
Leonard blinks. Ain't you backpacking against Europe, across Europe?
I can get back to it any time. I'm almost done anyway.
Jim, no.
I'm going to be there in 5 hours, give or take, okay? The transport won't take too long.
Leonard opens his mouth to protest, then closes it again.
He sighs, hanging his head.
Thanks, Jim.
Don't thank me. We're sobering you up, Bones.
Text conversation between Jim and Spock.
I'm pushing up my plans. Do you mind if I visit now and bring bad company?
I take it the doctor's court date did not go well.
You'd assume correctly he's a mess. We're driving so I can sober him up a bit. It'll take us 3 days tops.
I will be ready for you.
You say that, but Bones apparently harbors an immense hatred for you. I heard all about it when I got here.
Bones?
Len's new nickname. Screwing with him means he gets to complain, which makes him feel better.
He sounds quite illogical.
Oh, he is. I'll see you in 3 days, okay?
I await your arrival.
Bones' hands are shaking when they pull up to the giant house that Spock apparently lives alone in, but he showered this morning and put on a new shirt, so that's something. Still, he needs Jim's help to get out of the car. Spock is waiting for them on the porch when they pull up and holds the door open for them both to stagger inside.
There is a spare bedroom on the first floor, he says, pointing down the hall and to the right.
Thanks. I don't need a goddamn bed. I'm not an invalid.
You need sleep is what you need, Jim says, ignoring the older man's struggle to break free from his grip.
Shut up and let me help, Bones. Jesus.
Leonard grumbles but stops fighting. He appears to have recognized this battle as a loss. Spock watches them disappear down the hall, then returns to the kitchen for tea. Jim has been anxious these past days, anxious and frustrated and eerily calm all at once. He's made some sort of decision about them. But Spock can't quite discern what that decision is, or rather, he won't. He's forfeited that right. Part of Jim's uneasiness has to do with Leonard. They are close, perhaps closer than Spock realized, based on the 3 minutes it took for Jim to drag the doctor from the car to the spare room. If he didn't know better, he'd say they are intimate.
Well, that isn't true. He doesn't know better, really. It's more that he hopes.
He is uncertain how logical that hope may be.
The replicator beeps at him, jolting him out of his reverie. He pretends he doesn't hear Jim step into the kitchen, focusing instead on his tea.
Bones is going to take a nap. He didn't sleep well last night.
Spock nods, turning to face the blonde. He is having difficulty. Jim nods, the corner of his mouth pinching down just slightly.
Yeah, he can't see his kids, so...
He trails off with a shrug.
He'll get better.
Do you believe so?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I got over it.
Spock suppresses a wince. Jim, I
didn't mean to...
Sorry.
I didn't mean it like that.
Jim runs a hand through his hair awkwardly.
I just meant it's tough when someone walks away.
Spock nods. He doesn't trust himself to speak. I've been thinking a lot this past year, Jim says, about us.
Yes.
And I've come to a decision.
Have you?
Yeah, Jim shifts.
I love you.
You know that, right?
Spock blinks.
You have never expressed it verbally.
Well, I do. I always have.
So the question is this. Do you love me?
Jim shakes his head. No, that's not it. I know you love me. I felt it most of my life, even if I didn't realize it for a while.
The question is, do you love me enough to try this again, to do this properly?
Spock blinks, then takes a cautious step forward.
Jim stands his ground.
Spock takes another step, then another. It's easy to reach out, to touch Jim's face, to slide his fingers along his jaw.
I thought that would be obvious, he says softly.
I need verbal confirmation, Jim says. I feel it, but I need...
Spock kisses him.
Jim is a flurry of uncertainty, nervousness, fear, and then joy.
We shall try this again, Spock says, pulling away.
I will not run from you again, Jim.
You promise?
I learn from my mistakes, he says. But promise me something in return.
What's that?
Do not hide things from me, please.
Jim smiles.
Even if you should know on your own?
Particularly if that is the case.
Spock tilts his head.
It appears my own capacity for self-denial far surpasses even Vulcan logic. Do you think that you could manage that?
Yeah, I think I can do that.
Continued in part 10 of Doubt the Stars.